Well, good morning. Hey, I cannot be more excited that you guys are here with us as we dive into this brand new series called At the Movies. And for most of us in this room, 2020 has been a year that has been full of challenges and differences thrown into the mix and a whole lot of changes that we weren't expecting. But what I can say for myself is this, is we are finally arriving at a place in which there feels to be just a little bit of normalcy around here, because we have been doing At the Movies for the last 6 years. And so when October comes around and we get to dive into this incredibly exciting and fun series, I feel like things are finally resetting just a little bit towards normal. And what I know for so many of us, because 2020 has been such a challenging year, that many of our lives and many of the things that we have become accustomed to fall right in line with this counting crows phrase. And some of you are like, it goes back way further than that. Humor me and my age just a little bit here. You don't know what you got till it's gone. And if we were really looking close enough, there are a lot of things in our lives over the course of the last several months that we would attest feel a whole lot like that. And the movies are one of those such things. But there is nothing quite like going to the movie theater. Sure, sitting in bed and catching a movie with your spouse is great and all, but there's nothing like the big screens and the overpriced popcorn and the smell you just can't duplicate and the crowds and the big premieres and the movies that you've been waiting on to come out for months. And time again, we find ourselves in a place where in a matter of an instant, all of that was taken away. But I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about the moment you had kids. Because what you all know is that the very moment you had kids, you were put on like a 5-year timeout from being able to go to the movie theater every again. And then once your kids finally reached the point in which they weren't embarrassing you in the theater anymore, then the ability to pick whatever movie you want got severely reduced down to simply animated films that you were able to go see. And what I know is that every year I get up here and I talk about how much Krista and I absolutely love the theater. It was so much a part of our early dating life, so much a part of our early married life, that when we had a date night, we would go out to the movies. And I know I have talked about it so much because we started getting Christmas gifts from so many of you, or like presents for performing weddings and funerals and all sorts of things that would come in the form of Cinemark gift certificates. And then one day we had kids and we had hundreds of dollars of Cinemark gift cards built up, and they are just sitting in a drawer, never to be used again. Absolutely devastating. And yet we have all been there before. And it's not just the big screens and the premieres and the incredible popcorn that we miss. It's also the incredible storylines. You see, it doesn't matter if it's the romantic comedy or the thriller or the horror flick, whatever kind of movie it is that you love. Each of those movies draws us in with the tension that they create, and then the way in which that tension is resolved that just absolutely blows us away. It breaks our hearts. It inspires us. The storylines captivate us to no end. And when we really look close enough, what we will find is this, is that in every great movie we have ever come to love, it always follows a similar storyline. It doesn't matter what genre of movie it falls in, it always follows a storyline that goes something like this. A main character is introduced. A dream is then realized. It doesn't matter if the dream is getting the girl, just simply surviving, defeating the bad guy. There is a dream that is introduced into the mix for that main character. And once the dream is introduced, then there is an obstacle that comes into the picture. Something that is prohibiting that person from realizing that dream, what they are called to, what they want to accomplish. And immediately when the obstacle is presented, what we find is one emotion rising to the surface: fear. There is a fear of that obstacle or what that obstacle could do in their lives. And the thing that determines whether or not they reach their desired dream or goal within the movie is whether or not that main character is capable of overcoming that fear and continuing to pursue that incredible thing. And that very storyline is the reason why movies are so captivating to you and to me. Because that storyline is the same storyline of every great ending of our lives. But that storyline is also the storyline of every great regret of our lives. You see, every single one of us in our lives have faced moments in which there is this one thing that sets in. We walk into a church and we hear the pastor get up on stage week after week if we've been to church before, and he says things like, God loves you and he wants the best for you and he's fighting for you. And yet here we find ourselves in the middle of our lives living a life that is less than the best, living a life that we had never hoped for, in the middle of situations that we never wanted to experience. And we find ourselves wondering, how did we get here? How did our life, how did our marriage, how did our profession turn out this way? And the reason for so many of us that we find ourselves stuck in a place we never wanted to be is fear. You see, what I believe with all of my heart, is that fear is the one thing, it's the biggest deterrent to God's plan for your life and for my life. Fear is the biggest deterrent for God's plan in every single one of our lives, for the best that he has planned for you in your present and you in your future. When we allow fear to close in on us and engulf us, when we allow fear to paralyze us, it keeps us from God's design for our lives, for our marriages, for our parenting, for our finances, for our jobs, for our relationships, and on and on and on. But it doesn't stop there. When we really look close enough and we get honest enough, what we would also find is this. Fear is also the greatest deterrent to us experiencing God's grace in our life. Fear is the thing that keeps us believing that we don't deserve God's grace. Fear is the greatest deterrent to God's love and us realizing God's love in our lives. Because there's no way that God could love someone as messed up as me. And we fear how a perfect God could ever come in contact with an imperfect person. Fear robs us of everything good that God has intended for us. And you know what that begins to reveal? If God wants what's best for us, and yet we are not living out a life that is the best possible life, then there must be another force at work. There must be a dark side in our lives that comes in and begins to take root in our hearts and in our minds. You see, what it begins to reveal is this. Is that as much as God wants what's best for you, in your present, in your future, there is also an enemy in our lives that is up against every plan God has for you. There's an enemy that wants to block every part of God's plan, every part of God's grace, every part of God's love in your life and in my life. And when Jesus, the Son of God, put on flesh and he came to earth, he began to make it clear in his time here on earth, I've come to give you life and give it to you in the full. I want you to have a rich and satisfying life. But what you must recognize is this. As much as I want you to have a rich and satisfying life, there is someone who stands on the other side that wants to take that rich and satisfying life from you. That wants you to have a less than life. That wants you to continue to live in the what ifs and in the regrets that come because of fear. And that enemy, let me paint a picture for you that is loud and clear. That enemy will fight back against you and lie to you at every turn to keep you stuck in that fear. This morning, we're going to dive into the book of John, chapter 8. We're going to bounce around just a little bit, but this is our starting point. So if you haven't done so already, this is an incredible opportunity for you to grab your weekly. It's what you got when you came in this morning. And if you crack that open, what you'll find is a notes page that we've designed specifically for you. It'll help you follow along as we move through the text. You can even grab a pen in the seat back in front of you if you feel so inclined, and you can fill in some blanks as we go that'll help you in the days and weeks and months and years and decades of our lives that we struggle with fear and things to hold on to as we're struggling with that fear. But here is the picture that Jesus begins to paint in John chapter 8, starting in verse 44, of who this enemy is that stands on the other side of the line from his plans for our life, this enemy that wants to keep us trapped in fear day after day. In verse 44, he says this, he, meaning the enemy, meaning the devil, was a murderer from the beginning. What's Jesus saying here? He has come to kill everything good that I want to give you, to rob you, and steal everything that I want for your life, everything I want you to realize in your marriage, everything I want you to realize in your parenting, everything I want you to realize in your finances, everything I want you to realize in your relationships and the impact you can have on this world. He wants to kill every single one of those things. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, when it comes to fear, here's the thing that the enemy wants you to believe every single day of your life. Fear is just a natural part of your makeup. It's just a natural part of who you are supposed to be. I mean, look at your parents, look at your grandparents, look at your siblings, look at your friends. Every single one of them are struggling with fear. Every single one of them in their lives dealt with fear and became paralyzed by fear at some point. It's just a natural part of how this world works. And if you're going to live in the chaos of this world, you might as well just get used to giving in to fear. That's just how it works. And every single day he will whisper in your ear, this is just a part of being a human being. So just give in to it. Just allow fear to take hold in your life. For those of you who have never seen the newest Star Wars movie, The Rise of Skywalker, maybe you're sitting there and you don't consider yourself to be a Star Wars fan at all. I want to set the table just a little bit for you. There's a main character within this movie, within the new band of movies. Her name is Rey. And Rey is the hope of the Jedi. She is the hope of the resistance forces. She is who everyone has put all of their hope into for delivering them from the dark side, from the First Order. And Rey, in this journey, begins to discover that there's something different about her. There's something going on that makes her feel this tug to the dark side, that makes her feel this tug toward falling in line with the way Kylo Ren has went. It's the other character that we are going to see in this clip. And she begins to feel this tug towards the dark side in her life, that this is just who she is or who she is destined to become. She gets this reminder from a man who has become her arch nemesis, Kylo Ren. And the reminder is similar to the reminder you and I get every day of our lives from the enemy that stands on the other side. Check this out. The dark side is in our lineage. The dark side of fear is something that has been a part of our past, has been a part of humanity for all of time. And so you might as well just surrender to it like everybody else. You would rather just give in to believing what the enemy is feeding us, that you're just safer if you live in fear, that your life might be better if you just become accustomed to living in fear. And yet, in light of that, so often what the enemy wants to convince us of is this. Maybe this is actually God's intention for our lives as humanity. And yet we find Paul begin to speak something completely different into what God's intentions are for your life and my life, for our futures, for our souls. This is who we were actually created to be. Sure, it's a part of our lineage, but it was never meant to be a part of our makeup. You see, Paul writes this passage that we're about to read in a letter he writes to Timothy. Timothy is this young dude who's getting ready to go out into ministry. He's getting ready to venture out into his very first job. He has no idea what to expect, no idea what he is doing. And Paul is setting the table for him. And he says, Timothy, there are going to come a lot of moments in your future where fear is going to close in on you. And what you need to understand is when the enemy whispers to you that that's just a natural part of life and that's who you are supposed to be, what you must remember is this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul writes this to him. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. See, I don't know if you recognize this or not. English teachers in the room, help me out for a second. Fear is oftentimes a verb. Do you realize that? Fear is something that requires action on our part. And oftentimes what we fail to recognize is that the action we take is actually inaction. Inaction is a choice. Inaction is a verb. We become paralyzed by that fear that it keeps us from doing what we know we are supposed to do. It keeps us from doing what we know is right. It keeps us from taking that step in the direction we know God is calling us into in our lives. It keeps us sacrificing things that we know are most important, because changing that up or doing something different from the world around us scares the life out of us. And so we just give into the fear and we go along with what everybody else is doing. But the question that remains is this: if fear is such a constant part of my life and your life, and it was never meant to be there, how do we overcome it? How do we live a life that isn't centered on fear and timidity, but rather a life that is centered on power and love and self-discipline? You see, fear works best when it's simply allowed to remain in hiding. The key is to call out and acknowledge the fear that lives in every single one of us. The fear that has slowly seeped into our lives and slowly started to take grips over the most important things in our lives. We must not allow fear to remain in hiding. It only grows and gains power over us when we push it into the dark parts of our heart and our minds, and we only allow it to be exposed when we're by ourselves, because we don't want anyone to know that we have fear. We don't want anyone to know that we've been called to something greater in these areas of our lives, and we are not following it. And so we just push that fear and all of those dreams in the same compartment of our mind, and we bury it for as long as we possibly can. You see, it was this way for Rey. She knew that she was the hope for the Jedi forces, for the resistance. But she also felt this tug towards the dark side. And as she felt that tug and that feeling of giving over to the dark side rising up inside of her, what many of us feel as fear, she decided that she was going to take the same steps as one of her Jedi masters, Luke Skywalker, took. And in order to not hurt herself, be disappointed, or not hurt anyone else, she was simply going to go into hiding. For the rest of her life, she would stay confined on an island that would leave her exposed to nobody else. And as she makes this decision, she encounters one last moment with Luke Skywalker. And as he looks back on his life and his choices, he gives her this advice. Check this out. See, I'm not sure if you're making the ties here or not. But the very same thing that Rey believed is the same thing that you and I, day in and day out, have a tendency to believe. That if God really saw my brokenness, if he really saw the dark side within me, there's no way he's calling me to something better. And yet God looks back at us in the same way that Luke Skywalker looked at Rey. He sees that darkness in you. Princess Leia knew there was a dark side, and she knew you were related to the original emperor of the dark side, Palpatine. She saw that, and yet she saw something incredible in your heart. She saw greater potential in you. And so she still chose to train you. She still chose to call you to something incredible. She still saw more within you. And you see, the same thing is true in our lives. God looks at you and me, and yes, we are broken. Yes, every single one of us have made mistakes. Every single one of us have fear and a dark side living inside of us. And yet God is still calling us to something better. He's calling us to something more. He's calling us to take a step in some way, big or small, right here, right now in our lives. And yet we have become paralyzed by fear. We have sat down on the ground and we have just waited for all of the circumstances in our life to sort of line up and ensure that we would be successful before we take that leap, before we take that step. See, being afraid in our lives, let's just make this clear. Being afraid is not the issue. Every single one of us will have moments of our lives where we are afraid. Being afraid is an adjective. It is not a verb. Being afraid simply describes who we are in the moment or our emotions in the moment. You can look back throughout time and what you will see is person after person who was afraid. Gideon was afraid to lead but 300 troops into a battle. Noah was afraid to build an ark in the middle of a drought. Moses was afraid to go up and make demands in the face of a Pharaoh. Paul was afraid to give up his life and his profession for something different. Jesus was afraid of what was to come. As he sat in the garden and asked his father, if you could you take this cup from me? But there was this one thing that separated them from the rest, that separated them from the bunch. It wasn't whether or not they were afraid. It was whether or not they allowed fear to take hold in their lives. Whether or not they allowed fear to grip their hearts and their lives and their actions. Whether or not they allowed the inaction of fear to paralyze them and keep them from moving forward into what God had called them to. You see, for every single one of us, we are being called into something in our lives. For you, maybe it's in your profession. For others, it's within our marriage. For some of us, maybe it's an act of irrational generosity with our finances. Maybe it's breaking off a dysfunctional relationship in your dating that could force you to going back to being single again. Maybe it's an act of reprioritizing your time. Or maybe it's a step in your faith. Maybe it's the act of setting up a value system in your kids and with their time that is different than the rest of the world is doing. You see, we all have something in our lives we are being called to. But fear has called us to do our very best to ignore that calling in our lives and to hold the excuse, not yet. I just don't think I'm ready. I just don't think I'm equipped. I just don't think it's going to be successful quite yet. And we just keep playing the not yet card. We just keep pushing it off to the side. And every time we play the not yet card, the fear inside of us just continues to swell, just continues to grow. And that fear is holding us back from accomplishing something incredible. See, every single one of us with that fear find it growing in us in one of four areas. And acknowledging where that fear is growing allows us to overcome it and break the grip of it. For some of us, our greatest fear lies in this one place, and this is me. Our greatest fear that holds us back is the fear of failure. See, every fear of our lives has a tinge of this in it, doesn't it? For those of us in the room who are people pleasers, this rises to the surface. Because we don't want to fail somebody else. Because we don't want to be looked at as worse than what we presently are in the eyes of somebody else. We feel as if we're ill-equipped. We feel as if there's no way in our present state that we could possibly accomplish this. We feel insufficient. We feel as if we just don't have all the necessary tools at our disposal quite yet to accomplish this dream. And for most of us, if there is a chance at failure, we would rather just wait. Ever found yourself there? That if I am not absolutely assured of success in this endeavor, then I am going to wait until I can be absolutely assured that things will go well. And then years later, we wonder why we stand back and we look at our lives and we look at our past and we are filled with regret. The reason? Because life doesn't work that way. Because our faith doesn't work that way. It's the reason it's called faith. It's because the things we are being called to in our lives, the things God is calling us to, there will never in this life be anything we are called to take a step into that is absolutely assured of success. There will always be risk involved. There will always be a step out there in which we don't know whether or not it is going to work out. And that fear of failure, without an absolute certainty of success, just continues to rise to the surface. We see this in Poe. Poe is the lead fighter pilot of the Resistance Forces. And as Princess Leia, who sort of morphs into Commander Leia, commander of the Resistance Forces, as she is on her deathbed, the final wishes she gives is that her powers would be passed over as commander of the Resistance to Poe, the lead fighter pilot. And as Leia passes away and Poe learns of his new assignment as commander of the Resistance, he begins to feel all of this fear of failure and insufficiency rise to the surface. As he hears his new assignment, this is the response that he gives. Check this out.
Can I tell you, I don't really know how to do this. What you did.
I'm not ready. There's no way that I can succeed at this. And then Poe asks the incredible question, how did you do it? How did you accomplish so much with so little? We had each other. And we just jumped. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. We didn't know if we would succeed, but we knew it was the right thing to do, and we just jumped. We just went for it. You see, so often in our lives, our fear keeps us from just jumping, just going for it, because we fear everything bad that could happen. It's the reason that John, as he looks back on his life, on his journey with Christ, and all the years that followed that, and his mission to take this guy named Jesus and his grace and his love into the world, and all the fears that rose up, this is the reason why John gives us this advice. Check this out in 1 John chapter 4. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. And then he says this. This is so good. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. It is for fear of anything bad that could happen in our lives. And this shows that we have not fully experienced God's perfect love. You know what John is saying here? He's saying when you have relationship with God, fear is illogical. Hello. How could you fear what happens in your life when you know the final chapter of your life has already been won? Eternity has already been decided in your favor because of what Christ did on the cross. Why do you fear what happens in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 when you know that you get to the last chapter and the ending falls in your favor? Fear is illogical at taking the steps God is calling you to take when you know that the outcome has already been determined in your favor. There is no use in a fear of failure because failure will never be a part of the last line of your story when Christ is a part of it. And so we are capable of letting go of our fear of failure. But for some of us, we move on. And it isn't just the fear of failure, it's also the fear of doing it alone. The fear of going after this dream and chasing it by ourselves. You see, oftentimes we think, well, if someone would just go with me, or if a group of people would just go with me, then I would be much more prone to take a risk. Then I'd be much more prone to do what is right. But if I'm going to have to step out there and do it on my own, then that's just too risky. And you see, oftentimes what we miss is that as Christ followers, there are moments where we can no longer be a follower. We must be a leader. We must step out first and be the one that causes everyone else to take the right steps. If you're sitting in here and you are a Christ follower, that is what it means to be salt and light in the world. Not to be a follower, to be a leader with those things, to do what nobody else is doing. As the resistance plans their final battle plan, they draw up this plan that requires forces from all over the galaxy to be called upon and to join in the fight against the First Order. And as they're drawing up this plan, everybody in the clan begins to have these doubts and these fears that swell up. It just doesn't sound like it's going to work. It just doesn't sound logical. How could we go first if we don't know if anybody else is going to follow? And as these doubts begin to swell, this is the response that Poe gives. Check this out. Good people will fight if we lead them. Oftentimes, the things that need to be done in our lives, in our marriages, in our parenting, require us to be the first one to step out, even when no one else is stepping out. Requires us to be the ones that set our value system for our families, not dependent upon what everybody else is doing, but dependent upon what we know God is calling us to do. We are called to be the ones that step out there and love our wives or love our husbands differently than everybody else is loving their wives or loving their husbands. We are called to step out and to be the leaders every once in a while. And when we do, good people will follow. It's when we realize what King Solomon writes. When you step out first and others join you, what you recognize is that two are better than one. For they can stand back to back and fight a battle together. But if one falls down on their own, they are in real trouble. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We are meant to fight these battles together. But sometimes you can't be the follower. You have to let go of the fear of going at it alone and step out and do what you know is right for you and your life and your family and your calling. And then third, for many of us, we struggle with the fear of the unknown. There's this deep-seated fear in every single one of us of change, right? Like, we just want to know what we're walking into. We just want to know what we're getting ourselves into. And if there is any danger of change in all of this, if there's any uncertainty in what we're walking into, then maybe it's just safer if we don't walk into it at all. Uncertainty is one of the biggest paralyzers of our lives. And what we must realize is that if you want to live like everyone else is living, then do what everybody else is doing. That's familiar. But if you want to live like no one else is living, do what no one else is doing. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. Several weeks ago, I told you this story of our youngest. Our youngest is the one that's deemed the fearless one of the family. He will do absolutely anything and everything that he's not supposed to do. But with that, several months ago, we had a family pool party at Seltzer, and it's the first time we got to take the kids to Seltzer Pool. And so we were trying to figure out what that would look like. And what we immediately came to the conclusion of is it's going to look like every other kid. They're 2 and 3. And so it's going to look like every other kid. When they walk through the front gates, they're going to be absolutely mesmerized by the slide. And then that is going to lead to an immense amount of disappointment because they are going to realize you are too short to get on this ride. And that's exactly what happened. And as that happened, there were these wheels spinning of, okay, what is our night going to look like? What are we going to do from here? And the fearless one in our family made a beeline right for the diving board. If you've ever been to Seltzer Pool before, you know it's not the family pool where the diving board is like 18 inches off the water. No, the diving board is like 4 or 5 feet off the water. And he stood there at the back of the ladder and he watched. We had some friends of ours. They have high school kids. And they went and they were doing cannonballs and can openers into the water. And he was watching and it was his turn to finally climb up the ladder at 2 years old. And you could see the wheels turning and he kind of waddled out to the end of the board as fast as he could. And he stopped and he turned back. And he walked back to the other end of the board. And then he stopped and he turned around again and he sort of fast waddled out to the end and he stopped at the very edge. And he turned around again and walked back. And in that moment, you could see the wheels turning in my little boy's mind. The wheels of, is this safe? And I've never done this before, and this is the unknown, and I'm jumping into something that I don't know how deep it is. I don't know how safe it is. Is this worth it? Am I going to be okay? Sure, Daddy is sitting there in the deep end, but he looks kind of scrawny, and I'm not so sure if he can even keep me safe from this. And the third time, he turns around, and he waddles out to the end, and he pauses just for a moment, and then he leaps. And as he comes up out of the water, you could see the sheer joy, the exhilaration on his face from experiencing something that very few two-year-olds have ever experienced in their life, probably solely based on sanity. As we progress past the first jump and jumps 2 and 3 and 4, it was like, Daddy, get out of there. I don't need you anymore. I've jumped on my own now into the unknown, and I know the exhilaration that it brings, and I know the joy that it brings, and I'm ready to jump on my own. I'm ready to go for it. I know there was some uncertainty, but when I took the leap and I jumped out there, I experienced something like no one else got to experience. And so often in our lives, we are sacrificing the exhilaration that God has planned for our lives because we are unwilling to jump into the unknown. Sure, the unknown brings the greatest uncertainty, it brings the greatest risk, but it also brings the greatest opportunity for impact. We must let go of the fear of the unknown and jump sometimes. And then lastly, we have this unequivocal fear of admitting fear. I had to make it sound better than just pride. Because that's what it is that lives in me. I don't want to admit that I'm scared. I don't want to admit that I need help. I don't want to admit that I'm called to something, to do something that I just keep shying away from and I just keep pushing it back and I just keep saying, not yet. You see, oftentimes, in order for us to get over the fear, we must get to a place where we can admit fear will easily take hold of me if I don't call it out for what it is, if I don't relinquish some of this pride within me. It's the reason King Solomon writes this: pride leads to disgrace. That pride will lead to disgrace and regret in your life. But if you let go of that pride and you operate with humility, being able to admit, fear can take hold of me really easy. And I've been afraid and I've been scared and I've given in to fear for far too long in this area of my life. With that kind of humility comes wisdom. You want wisdom? You want a better life? Take a good, honest look at your regrets. And be ready to stop acting in fear. Be okay with being afraid, but refuse to allow fear, the action or inaction of fear, to paralyze you and keep you from the best life possible. See, as we keep looking at that one thing we are being nudged towards, the question we must ask is this: what lens are you looking at that thing through? Because what I know to be true is this, is that if we just keep looking through that thing in our lives that we are being nudged towards through the lens of fear, every obstacle of our lives looks bigger through the lens of fear. Every obstacle of our lives looks bigger, and the longer we put it off, the bigger the obstacle looks. The more it grows, the more daunting it becomes. But when we change our lens and we take off the fear goggles and we begin to view things, that thing that we're being called through the lens of God, you know what happens? Every obstacle looks like an opportunity through that lens. Every obstacle looks like an opportunity through the lens of God. We see the opportunity that lies before us, the impact that could be made, the way in which our life could be changed if we take that step. And what we also realize when we look at things through the lens of God, we see the force that is behind us. We see the force that is within us, pushing us forward. And that force looks an awful lot like this. Check out what Isaiah writes. This is so good. This is the force that is pushing from behind us. This is the force that is within us when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 43, he writes, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God." And then he finishes this entire chapter in this way: "From eternity to eternity, I am God." Does your life fall within eternity to eternity? For the entirety of your life, no one can snatch you out of my hand. I've got you. I've got you. I'm in the deep end. And I'm not as scrawny as your daddy is. When you begin to sink, I will pick you up. When you take the step, when you make the leap that I'm calling you to make, I will be there. I will go through it with you. Even though it may be difficult, you will come out the other side better. That is my promise to you. Near the end of the movie, there's this scene where the resistance has enacted their battle plan and they've taken this great risk. They've counted on people to just show up. And there is this moment where everything is crumbling around them and it looks like their plan is going to fail. It looks like they are going to be defeated by the dark side. And just as it looks like everything is crumbling around them, undoubtedly like you and I have experienced far too many times in our life, we've taken a risk and it just looks like it isn't going to work out. In the very moment where they thought they were doomed, something incredible happens. Check this out. It's not a navy. It's just people. people who showed up and did what they were being called to do. Just people who didn't have any special skills. People who were ill-equipped. People who had given in to fear time and time again, and yet this time, in this moment, they chose to battle it back. They chose to rise above. They chose to follow what God was calling them into. When it came to their lives and their relationships and their marriages and their parenting and their finances and the values in which they set for their lives, they chose to just do what they were being called to do. Here was a group of people who said, I know we've given in to fear for so much of our lives, but not today. And because of that, the world was changed. And so the question that remains is this. Are you willing to be people who just show up? Do what you are being called to do. To step out into the unknown. To step out when you're the first to step out. To step out, even when there's no certainty of success and failure seems like it's possible. Are you willing to step out? You see, fear will always keep you in the loser's seat. It will always keep you living a life of regret. And today there is something in your life, big or small, that you are being called to. And it's time for us to step forward in that area of our lives and to say, not today, fear. I'm not giving in to you one more second. I am rising above. Yes, I am afraid, but I will no longer be gripped by fear. And when we do that, our lives, our families, our city and the world are changed for the better, are changed for forever, and we battle back the dark side. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning we thank you for being a God who knows the worst about us and yet still loves us most. Who knows the worst about us and yet still calls us to something great in our lives on this earth. But God, there is an enemy on the other side that's feeding us lie after lie, that's telling us this is just who we are. This is in our lineage. The dark side of fear is just where we are meant to live. And God, this morning I pray that we have the courage to battle back those lies. And to listen to your truth. You didn't create us with a spirit of fear and timidity. But to experience the best possible life, we must push those things aside and just be willing to jump. To take a leap today. And to say, fear, you are no longer winning and holding my heart and my mind and my life in your grip. I'm jumping. May we have the courage to jump. It's in your name I pray. Amen.